One of WPR's most prolific readers is with us again to recommend some new books worth a read. Steve Paulson joins us now. He's the executive producer of WPR's To the Best of Our Knowledge. Steve, welcome back.
It's great to be here.
Well, so you've got three more books lately that have made your must-read list. Tell us about the first one. This is by author Haruki Murakami. Why is a new book by him considered such a big deal?
He's developed this following just around the world, but especially in Japan, in his native country. The first week that this new novel, Colorless Tsukuru Tazaki, was published, a million copies were sold in Japan. And every time when it sort of comes around to talk of the next Nobel Prize in Literature, his name surfaces. Supposedly, he's one of the favorites. So he's a big deal, and it's an event when a new Murakami novel appears.
And his novels are often quite long. How big is this one?
This is actually of moderate size, and I have to say it's compulsively readable. He's one of my favorite writers. I've read almost everything he's written, and this one sucked me in right away.
What's it about?
It's about it. You know, actually, can I read you the very beginning of it, which is kind of a good setup to it? This is how it begins. From July of his sophomore year in college until the following January, all Tsukuru Tazaki could think about was dying. He turned 20 during this time, but the special watershed, becoming an adult, meant nothing. Taking his own life seemed the most natural solution, and even now he couldn't say why he hadn't taken this final step. Crossing that threshold between life and death would have been easier than swallowing down a slick raw egg.
Wow.
So it kind of sucks you in. It's the story of this guy, Tsukuru, who is in his mid-30s, and he's reflecting back on this very traumatic thing that happened to him earlier in his life. When he was a teenager, he was one of a very close group of friends, five in all, and they were inseparable. They did everything together. And then he goes off to college, and then he comes back, and suddenly he finds out that he's been cut off, and none of his friends will talk to him. He doesn't know why. They won't tell him. They won't speak to him. And he just sort of lives with this, and he's profoundly depressed for a long time and sort of starts to pull his life back together. And this novel is really the story of figuring out what happened. You know, why did all of his closest friends cut him off?
Well, it sounds like a page-turner for sure. And as far as the style, if people are considering taking this on, what is the style like?
Well, there's kind of a paradox at the heart of every Murakami novel. He's actually not a great prose stylist. I mean, it's in translation, but it would seem that the choice of words are, you know, there's nothing especially stylistic about it. The plot twists are sometimes kind of obvious, but there's something mesmerizing about every Murakami novel. There's a surreal quality to it. His characters all kind of inhabit their dreams. Sometimes they communicate in their dreams, and they sort of work out this sort of psychic landscape. And so it just sucks you in, and I think once you start reading a Murakami novel, it's almost impossible to put it down.
That's interesting. So you're saying this guy who's being, you know, slated maybe to get a Pulitzer Prize is not the best.
A Nobel Prize.
Nobel Prize is not the best prose craftsperson, but
yeah, and I think
you
everyone,
can't stop reading it.
I think everyone acknowledges that, but he has a sensibility. I mean, there's a distinctive quality to a Murakami novel that you just, it's just apparent. You know that you're in his universe and no one else could have written this book.
All right. That sounds like a good one. And you've got another. Now we're going to move into the realm of nonfiction. And this one is about, this is a book which is a surprise that it even exists. It's about the famously reclusive Harper Lee. She's sort of the female J.D. Salinger.
Sort of. Now, Harper Lee, of course, wrote To Kill a Mockingbird, and she wrote this in the early 1960s. It was a huge bestseller. Won a Pulitzer Prize, was made into an acclaimed movie starring Gregory Peck, and it was everywhere. And of course, it's on virtually every high school reading list. So tens of millions of copies are in print. But she stopped doing interviews, or at least official interviews, in 1964. She's famously private. She's a bit different than a recluse like J.D. Salinger or Thomas Pynchon. She's not hiding, but she just doesn't want to talk to the press. And then finally, this woman, Maria Mills, who happened to have grown up in Madison, actually, she broke through.
And how did she do that?
Well, she had been a reporter at the Chicago Tribune and was sent down to do a story about Harper Lee. And she didn't expect to be able to meet her, but she made contact with Nell Harper. Nell Harper is how she's referred to with her sister, Alice. And Alice has been kind of Harper Lee's gatekeeper over the years. And she apparently charmed Alice. And then Maria Mills got a call at her motel from Harper Lee saying, could we meet? And one thing led to another, and they became friends. And then Maria Mills suffered from lupus, and she ended up moving down to this little town, Monroeville, Alabama, and rented the house right next door to the two sisters, Harper Lee and her sister Alice, and got to know them quite well, sort of hung out with them.
Wow. So was the idea that she wanted time to recuperate and also maybe work on the book of a lifetime?
I think that's right. And she talked a lot with Harper Lee, would go to McDonald's, would go to Burger King, to hang out with her, you know, sort of for this world-famous author. You know, she lived this very simple life, but a complex woman. And these were not official interviews. And so Harper Lee never said, you know, this is an authorized biography, but she apparently signed off on it. But there has been actually quite a lot of controversy about this book since it came out.
Really? So what's the controversy?
Well, right before this book by Maria Mills, The Mockingbird Next Door, came out, the day before, in fact, there was a statement issued in the name of Harper Lee, which said, "I have not approved any book about me." It said, "Rest assured, as long as I'm alive, any book purporting to be with my cooperation is a falsehood." So there's been a lot of controversy about this, but it's not actually clear that Harper Lee herself wrote that statement.
Why not?
Possibly some of her handlers did. She'd had a serious stroke a few years ago. Her health has declined a lot. And actually, her sister Alice had come out a couple years ago vouching for Maria Mills. And so I think it's fair to say that Harper Lee remains a mystery.
Wow. Well, so you've read this book. Can you give us any tidbits about what Harper Lee was like?
Yeah. Well, it's she seemed to have kind of sort of a love-hate relationship with the celebrity that she had. She actually split her time between New York and Alabama for years, and she was clearly proud of the book that she wrote. And one of the mysteries, actually, is she never wrote a second novel. And so that's been one of these enduring questions of, you know, why did not Harper Lee ever write another novel? And Maria Mills asked her sister Alice and said, well, you know, how can you ever compete with that? How could you ever measure up to that kind of success again? And so, you know, complicated, private, a little cantankerous, obviously very smart and kind of fierce.
Mm, wow. Well, that's an interesting story for sure. And you've got another nonfiction selection. This one you're really nuts about. This one is called In the Shadow of the Sabretooth. I love the title already. What's this one about?
Well, this is by Doug Peacock. And it's the – Doug Peacock is a well-known wilderness advocate. He's a Vietnam vet, a former great friend of Edward Abbey, and he's an amateur archaeologist. And this is the story of – the last era of global warming, which was sometime during the Pleistocene era, so, you know, 15,000 years ago or something like that. And there really are two great mysteries if you go back to ancient history in North America. One is, when did the first humans arrive here? There's been a lot of controversy about that. Some people think it's maybe 12,000 years ago. Some people think it was tens of thousands of years ago, maybe 40,000 years. And the other great question is, why did the great mammals that used to roam North America, the mammoth, the saber-toothed tiger, the giant short-faced bear, which was twice as big as the grizzly bear, why did they all disappear roughly around the same time as the Clovis hunters 11 to 12,000 years ago? And Peacock basically concludes, I mean, it's very speculative, but it's probably a combination of they were hunted into extinction and it was the era of global warming and their old habitat disappeared.
Well, this is an interesting piece on a unique time in history. So why was Peacock, the author, drawn to this particular time?
Well, he has a fascinating backstory. He was a Green Beret medic in the Vietnam War back in the 1960s, suffered from a lot of post-traumatic stress when he came back to this country. Ended up he couldn't be around people. He would go out into these wilderness areas, and he had this one kind of primal encounter with a mother grizzly bear and her cubs, and, you know, thought he might die, didn't. And sort of it changed his life. And he spent the next few decades protecting grizzly bears. And so he's obsessed with this question of what is it like to live in an area where the humans are not the top predator, where you are in a place where other animals could kill you. And he says it totally changes the psychic landscape. And so, you know, he's writing about this period 15,000 years ago, when there were all these great beasts, and certainly humans were not the top guy around. And so he's sort of wondering, what was that like? So I think he has sort of this great affinity to what life must have been like when these early humans were around or trying to survive in the most difficult circumstances.
So what does he want us to take away about super predators and about grizzlies in particular?
Well, I think he wants us to marvel at wilderness and what it's like to not just be around other people. And the grizzly for him is, it's a symbol that as long as the grizzly is with us and healthy, and you know, grizzly habitat is endangered, and there aren't that many grizzlies anymore, especially in the lower 48 states. As long as there's a healthy population of grizzly bears, then he thinks, okay, humans will be okay. But if grizzlies disappear, then something will be lost about what it means to be human.
Steve, thank you so much. Those are like three great picks, and we're going to put them up on the Central Time Facebook page.
It's always a pleasure.
Steve Paulson is the executive producer on To the Best of Our Knowledge here at Wisconsin Public Radio.
And if there's something you want to hear for our Share Something segment or Curious Wisconsin, why don't you give us a call at our hotline, 855-683-5422. That's 855-683-5422. We always love to hear from you and to get your show suggestions.
Maybe there's something unique about the town that you live in. Maybe there's a feature of the landscape you've always been curious about, a story you heard that you want to find out whether it's true or not. That's what Curious Wisconsin is for. Among other things, call us at 855-683-5422 and leave your suggestions there. We're always happy to hear from you.